Thanks, Daniel. Well, great to be here this morning. Who can think of a better place to be on a Sunday morning than church, right? There's no better place for us to be than with other believers, to stir our faith, to worship God, to hear from the Bible. And earlier when Pastor Daniel said that your lives were changed through preach, not a sermon, that really got me because I'm like, I'm just about to go off it. No, I agree. God meets us when we're seeking Him. So I pray that you're seeking Him this morning and that you're ready to hear from Him if you haven't already. Before I start this morning, I just want to honor your senior pastors, Daniel and Megan. These are a great couple, a great family. And I've known these guys for a long time, as Daniel has said, and have watched their ministry from a distance. And in more recent years, we've done life a little bit more closer as they've stepped up into leading this church and we've done dinners together and breakfasts. And just to hear their heart for God, to hear their heart for you, this church has just been so inspiring, and you are in good hands with your senior pastors, Daniel and Megan. And yeah, come on, give them a clap. Their passion that people would know Jesus is what it's all about. And so much so that you guys have three, is that right? Three services in your church in three different languages, Farsi, English, and Arabic. Amazing. See, this is the heart of your pastors, that everyone would have the opportunity to know Jesus and who He is. And so I love that. I want to encourage you, let's get around your leaders. Let's get around our pastors. Let's get around the people in our church who are doing what they're doing. Let's be praying, believing that God is going to do something amazing. See, the vision of Infinity Church will come to pass, which is what? Introducing Melbourne to Jesus. Come on, does anyone want to see Jesus introduced to Melbourne? So come around them, be praying, supporting, believing, giving, serving. Jesus is going to be lifted up in Melbourne. Amen. He's going to be glorified in this place. He has so much in store for you and this church. A little bit about myself this morning, in case you don't know who I am. My name is Bronson, as has already been described, along with my wife, Gabby. We are the pastors of Elevation Church Melbourne West. We've been pastoring for about 8 years now, and we have a family of three children, Joel, who is 18, Ethan, who is 15, and Roman, who is 7. And we've been married for 25 years, which I know you cannot even conceive that because I don't look a day over 25, 28. But we've been married for 25 years and just loving life. And I think there may be some pictures. There we go. There's the Christmas photo, right? Yeah, where everyone's dressed up nicely and just trying to look respectful for Instagram. And then that's another photo while we're away on holidays. We've all got our sunnies on, just enjoying a life. I'm a second generation pastor. My dad was a pastor before me, but I want to let you in on a secret. I didn't always want to be a pastor. In fact, it was one of those things that I said I never, ever wanted to do. And I ran from God for many years, but you can't outrun God. And today, maybe you're in this place and maybe you've been running for a season to try to get away from God's plan for you. I pray that there is coming a day where you will stop and say, God, I'm going to surrender my life to you. I want you to move in my life. And maybe that day is today, maybe it's next week, maybe it's next month, but it would come and that you would surrender to Him to know the great joy that comes from being in His will for your life. And it's a real privilege to be invited to share it this morning. I grew up coming to Infinity Church, I think it was called Plenty Valley Church back then, all the way over in Centenary Drive to INC youth gatherings back when I was a younger man. And spent some time with the Anderson boys, and pastors Craig and Chris were just a great influence on my life and my parents as well. And so life is better when you've got great people around you. They inspire you. They encourage you. Sometimes they challenge you and they speak into your life, set an example. So I've been blessed by Infinity Church, and my hope and my prayer is that today that I would bless you in some way with the word that I'm about to share. So let's get into it. Today I want to bring a message that would stir your hope and encouragement. I want to bring a message that would stir our faith to align our thinking, our believing, our attitudes, our confession of our mouth with God and what His Word says. See, church, we have a hope. We have a hope in this world, a great hope, and our hope is not the government.
It's not our bank account. It's not the career we have or our good looks. Our hope is not in our family or our friends. I'll even say this. Our hope is not even the church or pastors, Daniel and Megan. Well, maybe you can hope in them, but you can't hope in me. But our hope is not in any of those places. Our hope is in God. Our hope is found in Jesus. And the scriptures say in Psalm 39:7, but now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. And I pray today that as I share this message, that it encourages you to put your hope in God. My message is titled, Take Heart. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time this morning where we've already came and praised you and worshiped you with our hearts. I pray right now that you would speak to us, Holy Spirit, through your scriptures. That this would be a word in due season for people, for this church, Lord God, and that we would have ears to hear and hearts to receive, Lord God. So we thank you for this. Thank you for the great work you are doing, Infinity Church, and that you continue to do, and the great plans you have for its future, Jesus. And so we thank you that you are our hope in all situations of life, in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Come on, everyone said, amen. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm glad I am in church this morning. I want to let you know something today. I believe in affirmation. I believe if you want to say, preach it, Bronson. I believe if you want to say, amen, join my message, I give you permission to do that. If you have an issue, any complaints, just leave them to tomorrow. Send them to Pastor Megan. She'll fix you up with any issues, the things that you don't like that I've said. 2023 was a great year for me. And for my family, we had a fantastic year. We had a six-week holiday in Italy where we just went all through Italy, got suntans, ate amazing food, created great memories with my wife and the family. It was a trip of a lifetime. My oldest daughter, Joelle, was the ducks of her year 11 in her school. And so proud of her. They reckon the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So I'm claiming that one. That's from me, my brains and intellect. My son, Ethan, he started a job at McDonald's. So he was earning, I don't know, $8 an hour, $11. I don't know what they earn these days. But he's a working man now, earning his money. My youngest, Roman, was living his best life. Like when you're seven, life is good, yeah? Like it's always your best life when you're seven, you know? Grow up and you'll discover, oof. Anyway, Gabby, my wife, had a great job opportunity at her workplace to get a pay rise and a position promotion. That's what I was trying to say, a good job promotion that was well-deserved. And personally, I had a season of just great health, where emotionally and mentally and spiritually, I just felt the best I'd felt in so many years of leadership and being a husband and a father and being a man of God. Just an amazing year in 2023, one of the best years in such a long time for me and my family. I've also had some years in my life that have been tough, and 2019 was one of those years. And in that year, there were so many things that occurred. I had some health issues with a condition I have called ulcerative colitis, which brought frequent flare-ups that caused all kinds of discomfort and issues in my bowels and my stomach. And then I had years of neglecting my emotional and mental well-being that resulted in me spending many months with a psychologist just talking through and dealing with undealt with inner demons of insecurities and childhood trauma. At church, two trusted staff members who I thought had my back suddenly quit and 2 weeks later left the church. And, you know, that rocked my confidence in my leadership ability, and I started to question myself. At the same time that this is occurring, I'm leading a building fit-out project for our church facility, and help that had been promised that I was desperately relying on, because newsflash, I'm not a builder. I'm a pastor. It's not really my gifting, but you know, help that I really, really needed was withdrawn at the last moment, and I was left scrambling to complete the build on time and dealing with, you know, just feelings of rejection. And it finally got to the point where the physical ailments, the mental and emotional things that I was going through, the baggage, the people disappointments, and the pressure finally got to me where I didn't have a mental breakdown, but I feel like I was so close to it. I was so, so close to this place, and I was still highly functioning, but I was constantly sick to the pit of my stomach with anxiety and stress. And the only relief I had was at nighttime when I was sleeping, and the 1 second after I woke up, where you're just in that still kind of like that sleep phase, 1 second, and then bam, immediately, stress and anxiety about everything that was going on in my life would come and hit me, and I would be continuing in that place of anxiety and stress for the rest of the day. 2019 was one of the hardest, most difficult, and worst years of my entire life. Maybe for you, halfway through 2024, it's been a great year, like 2023 for me has been a great year. Was a great year. Maybe this year you've had lots of wins. There's been great things that have happened, great memories and accomplishment. You've had goals and you've achieved them. You've ticked them off. There's been experiences. There's been highs in your life. Everything is going well. It's a highlight year and it is an amazing year. But it's also likely that in this room that there might be other people where 2024 is going a little bit like my 2019. It's not going that great. See, your back may be up against the wall. You might have faced inward battles. There might be things externally that are happening in your life. There might be insecurities, temptations, worry, fear, mental health issues, addictions, your flesh outwardly. There could be sickness. There could be financial pressure, broken relationships, maybe unfulfilled dreams. It's quite possible that 2024 isn't going how you hoped it would have gone. It's a tough year. You know, Jesus addressed this in one of my favorite Bible verses in all of Scripture when he said the following in John 16, 33. He said, I have told you all these things that you might have peace in me. Here on this earth you will have many trials and sorrow, but take heart. Would you see that with me, church? Take heart. Come on, let's all say it together. Take heart. Jesus says, take heart because I have overcome the world. In chapters 15 and 16 of John, Jesus has talked to the disciples about some things that they're going to go through and that following Jesus, following him, following the way is going to be difficult at times. They're going to have moments of trials and sorrows. They're going to have times where they're persecuted for their faith. They're going to be tested. Hard times will come. And he says in John 15, 20 and 21, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is no greater than the master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name. See, he lets them know something very important all those years ago, some 2,000 years ago, that we need to know today also as a church, and that I want to remind us this morning, is that becoming a Christian does not guarantee an easy life. Has anyone discovered that? That being a Christian does not guarantee the easy life. See, if you believe Jesus came to make your life easy, you're going to be in a world of hurt when you discover that you are not exempt from the trials and the sorrows that sometimes come in life. Rather, Jesus says, you're going to experience them. In this life, you will have many trials and sorrows. And this is where the rubber hits the road, and we have a choice in the trials and the sorrows of life to do two things. We can either run from God or we can run to God. Can I get an amen? We can either run from him or we can run to him. Pastor Craig Grishol of Life Church in America, he says this about trials. A faith that has never been tested is a faith that can't be trusted. And I want to be clear here this morning. He's not saying that the one we put our faith in can't be trusted. Our God can be trusted in every season of life, in every circumstance and situation. He can be trusted, but sometimes our faith can't be trusted. Sometimes our faith can't be trusted. See, it's in the crucible that your faith is tested and found true or not. who's discovered that it's easy to love Jesus when things are going well. It's easy to give him praise and glory when everything is coming as you wanted it to, all your dreams are occurring. But when things aren't going so well, it can sometimes be harder. It can be sometimes be more difficult in the testing of your faith, in the trials that you face. But it is then that you come before God and you say to God, God, you are sovereign and my faith is in you regardless of what I'm facing, where I am, because you are God in the good and you are God in the bad. You are God on the mountaintops and you are God in the valley. So you're either trusting God or you're trusting someone else. See, so the testing reveals God is with us in the trials. And I love this from Romans 6:38. Says this, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus says you're going to face some things, guys, but you're going to face some things, but I've found in my life the buts of life usually means that something is going to go from good to bad, right? The buts of life. Let me give you some examples. Your boss, I was going to give you that pay rise, but you didn't meet your goals or your targets. The doctor's result, well, that test came back okay, but there's some other things that we need to look at that don't look so good. How about this one here? Maybe you might need to think back to when you're a little bit younger. I'm not sure, but you, the guy or the girl that you asked out to the formal or whatever it might be, and they come to you and say, I was going to go with you, but I got a better offer from someone else. That hurts, right? How about this one here, the drive-thru at McDonald's? We were going to make that thick shake for you, but the thick shake machine is broken. Does anyone know that? The thick shake machine is broken. What's up with the thick shake machine always being out of order? See, life seems to always have a but to change a good thing to a bad thing. But praise God, he's in the business of changing bad things into good things. And God can take is in the business of taking our bad and making it into something good. The classic story of this in the Bible is Joseph. And Joseph was the most loved son of Jacob, but he was despised and hated by his brothers. But he was sold into slavery, but he was written off as dead, but he was falsely accused of a crime he didn't commit, but he was left languishing in prison, and yet he has this to say in Genesis 50, verse 20, when he's speaking to his brothers, he said, you intended to harm me, but God. Can someone grab a hold of this morning? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Romans 8:28, for we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And today I want to speak into the life of someone today that maybe 2024 isn't going how you wanted it to go. Maybe it's a year of trials and sorrows, but I want to speak to someone else today. There may be times in the remainder of this year or next year or in the future where maybe you're going through something, something's happening in your life that isn't good. Your back's against the wall. You're hard pressed. But Jesus says, but take heart. But take heart. So don't be discouraged, disheartened, disenfranchised. Take heart. Be encouraged today. Stir up your faith. Lean into the Holy Spirit and his leading. There is hope. There is peace. There is comfort. There is courage. There is strength in Jesus. Can I get an amen this morning? Why do we take heart? Because Jesus has overcome the world. Jesus has overcome the world. John 16:33, that second half. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. I love this declaration by Jesus. In this statement, he does something very common in old literature and biblical prophecy. He speaks of something as if it has already happened. As if it has already happened. Sound familiar to anyone? Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, not yet occurred. We can see it though in our spiritual eyes. See, when Jesus says, take heart because I have overcome the world, he is speaking to the future of his life and also your life. See, he's done some amazing things up until this point, up until John 16. He's fed the 5,000. He's healed the lame. He's raised Lazarus from the dead. He's resisted the temptations of Satan. He's lived a sinless life. But he hasn't yet been to the cross. He hasn't yet defeated death and its hold. He hasn't yet risen from the grave. And yet he calls those things that be not as if they already are. See, Jesus activates his faith in the Father, knowing the Father's plan of redemption for humanity and what will be accomplished at the cross. And he says, in the future, I will overcome the world. And that means, church, today that he has overcome, that you have overcome. See, Jesus sees ahead to his glorious victory that he will have over the world and its systems, over the devil, the power of sin and death. And he says, I have overcome. I have overcome. And sometimes as Christians, we forget this. Jesus has won. He has the victory. He has overcome. And the victory Jesus achieved at the cross wasn't just for him. It was for us too. He overcame for our salvation. He overcame for our insecurities, temptation, worry, fear, and flesh. He overcame for our sickness, financial pressures, broken relationships, unfulfilled dreams. He overcame for us to have a relationship with the Father. Church, this is a promise for us. Christ has overcome. And you know, so far in 2024, it may have been hard, but Christ has overcome. There may be tough times still to come in this year or the years ahead, but Christ has overcome. Life might be neither good nor bad, but Christ has overcome. Maybe life is amazing at the moment. You're flying, you're kicking goals. Christ has overcome. And this is not a motivational speech this morning. This is the very basis of the gospel message. Jesus came, lived a sinless life. He died as a substitute for our sins. He went to the cross. He rose again. He ascended to heaven. His is the victory. His is the power. His is the glory. He has overcome. As I start to finish today, let me summarize what we've been over. Jesus told us that there's going to be trials and sorrows. Not so keen on that part. He's also told us that he's going to overcome the world. So there's trials and sorrows and there's also overcoming. But there's one more thing that Jesus said. There's one more thing that Jesus offered to us. What did he say in John 16:33, the first part of it? I've told you all this so that you might have peace in me. That you might have peace in me. Come on, anyone need Jesus' peace this morning? Peace in me. Grab a hold of this today. Don't overlook it. It's easy to miss as we skip ahead to look at the overcoming. See, we're going through life as Christians. We're living our Christian lives and we understand that being a Christian, sometimes there might be trials and sorrows. We understand it doesn't guarantee an easy life. But we know that Jesus is with us, that he's overcome. We know that he's done all the things and anything that we face, any obstacle that is before us, whatever it might be, inward or outward, Jesus has overcome them. And we have that understanding. And it means that when I will grab a hold of the truth and the promise of John 16:33, if I really grab a hold of it, this is what happens. I am at peace no matter what the seasons of life are. I am at peace no matter what the sins of life are. Whether it's trial and sorrow or whether it's overcoming and victory in good times, I am at peace because of what Jesus has promised me. See, can we grab a hold of this today? Can we grab a hold of this morning? Jesus is real. He's alive. He's moving. He's active. He's present in my life. And he brings his peace to me daily so that I may overcome even when I'm not overcoming. Do we get that today? There is an overcoming even when we are not overcoming that Jesus promises to us. See, this is the scripture and the promise that I held on to in 2019, the hardest, most difficult, and worst year of my life. And I will tell you honestly, do we believe in honesty in this church? Authenticity, transparency? I didn't feel like I was overcoming in 2019. In fact, I felt like I was undercoming. Is that a word? I didn't feel like I was overcoming. I feel like I got undercoming. But I didn't feel at peace in my body or my emotions, my mind or my soul, but in my spirit. Come on, church, in my spirit. I took hope. In my spirit, I was at peace because I knew that Christ had overcome for me. And whether that was the reality of my life or not, I knew that Christ had overcome for me. So my encouragement today, Infinity Church, my encouragement today, if you're facing suffering, trouble, a trial, tribulation, please find your peace in Jesus. Find your peace in Jesus. Don't look to a person, a substance, an experience. Look to Jesus Christ in the trials and the tribulations. If you're overcoming in life, maybe life is great. If you're winning and grinning and achieving, find your peace in Jesus. In Matthew 11:28, he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." My burden is light, but we have to come to Jesus. We've got to come before him. We've got to lay it down. Lay our burdens before him. Take on Jesus' yoke upon our lives. Find the rest that he promises for our souls that we can find in him. And maybe today you're here. Maybe you're facing a trial, season of sorrow, season of hardness. Could be a health issue. Could be the deterioration of a relationship, a marriage. Could be the death of a loved one. Could be financial loss, spiritual dryness, something else today. I don't know what it is. But if you're facing it, I want to pray for you this morning. And I want to pray for us shortly. But before I do that, I want to give any person here who doesn't know Jesus an opportunity to know him today. And maybe you want to close your eyes right now and bow your heads. But any person in this room, see, I don't know very many of you in this room. So I want to give an opportunity. If you're here today, maybe it's your first time in church. Maybe you've grown up in church, knowing God your whole life, but you don't have a personal relationship. See, if I was to ask you today, has there been a time in your life where you have made a personal decision to say, "Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior. I submit my life to you. Thank you for saving me from my sins." And if I was to ask you if you've ever made that decision or said those words and you were to say no today, I want to say to you, today is the day to make that decision. See, Jesus came and he died for you. He came to bring you back into relationship with God the Father and to make you right. And no matter how hard we try in our lives, we are just not able to make ourselves right. And the only way we can be right is through Jesus Christ, because he lived a right life, a perfect life, a sinless life. And if we would ask him to be our Lord and Savior, he says that his righteousness, his goodness, he will impute it to us. He will say that we can live in that righteousness and that goodness and be made right before God. See, without that, we're facing an eternity separated from God. Without that, we're facing eternity in a place we don't want to be. But Jesus came to bring us hope. Jesus came to overcome sin and its hold. Jesus came to overcome that future that might be, but won't be if you'd invite him into your life. And so this morning, if all eyes closed, every head bowed, if you want to make that decision today, if you want to say, "Bronson, I want to know Jesus. I want to invite him into my life." And then the amazing team here at Infinity will come alongside you and tell you what it means to be a Christian, walk with you and disciple you. help you to know what it means to be a Christian, how to follow God. If you want to make that decision this morning, you just want to raise your hand and say, Bronson, I want to invite Jesus into my life this morning. Invite Jesus into your life. He died for your sins. Scripture says he knocks on the door of your heart, asking to be invited in. Today, would you invite him in this morning? Any person in this place, put your hand up right now. All eyes are closed. Every head is bowed. Bronson, I want to know Jesus this morning. I want to receive him today. I want to be saved like the scriptures say. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. This morning, I want to pray a prayer. If you wanted to invite Jesus into your life, would you pray it with me? If you want to invite him into your life, pray it with me. We're all going to pray it out loud. Dear Jesus, thank you, you died for me. I invite you into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. I choose to follow you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. God, I pray if anyone has prayed that prayer for the first time this morning, let them experience right now your Holy Spirit power coming into their lives to change them, to make them a new creation. Thank you that you have saved them. You have made them right, Lord God. I thank you this week as they go out from this place, Lord, that they will experience you moving in their life. Remove addictions, Lord God. Break chains off their life. Bring healing, Lord God. Bring power. Help them overcome, Lord God, that they might know you, Lord God. And we thank you for that, Jesus. Lord God, right now, as I've shared this message this morning, Lord, there are people here this morning, Lord God, that may be going through a season, Lord, where they feel like it's a time of trials and sorrow, of hardship and difficulty. Pray, Lord God, right now. You know, if that's you this morning, I'm not going to ask you to come forward, but what I want to ask you to do right now is just to be joining with me as I pray and just be looking to God, to be looking to Jesus. He says, take hope. Take heart. I have overcome the world. This morning, Jesus, I don't know people in this room, their situation, their circumstances, but Lord God, you do. You know everything that is going on in every person's life, Lord God. And I pray right now, Jesus, that in this season that they might be in, Lord God, right now, Lord God, in this place that they might be in today, I just pray, God, that they would experience the peace of God that surpasses all understanding in this season that they may be in, God. Maybe today that they're not in it, Lord God, but there might come a day in the future where they might face something like this, God, that they would look to you and find your peace. And God, I thank you that they would take heart, Lord. They would take heart in you, God. And they would know, Lord, that you have overcome. Because you have overcome, Lord, they will overcome too, Jesus. And we don't know the timing, and we don't know when, and we don't know how, but we do know, God, that you promised to be with us. So we thank you in the valley moments, you're there for us, God. In the mountaintop moments, you are there for us, God. And we give you praise for that, Jesus. And so I thank you for that, Lord God, your peace, your hope, Lord God, that we would take hope in you today, Lord God. Bless this church, Jesus. Bless the people in it, Lord God. And we thank you for that, Lord God. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. Come on, can we give God some praise this morning? Give him a clap this morning. Thank you so much. Thank you, Daniel.